Is your doctor a real life doctor or a real life makey uppy doctor? Let's find out. Welcome back, this is your News Burp Short. It's Friday, 15th of October 2021. Bit of a clickbaity title on this one, but also not really. A lot of stories this week in particular about people pretending to be doctors, passing themselves off as doctors and causing all sorts of chaos. This is the first one I have for you. A woman who allegedly pretended to be a doctor and issued fake COVID exemptions doesn't believe she's done anything wrong. This is a story about an Australian woman who was passing off fake certificates to people, giving them exemptions from taking or from having to take and receive the COVID vaccine. She doesn't have a medical doctorate. She's not registered as a medical practitioner in Australia or anywhere for that matter. And as a result, she now faces up to $10,000 in fines. 10,000 Australian dollars, so that's about €7 in fines. And possible jail time. Let me know what you think about this down in the comments, because wherever you fall on the whole COVID thing, the vaccinations and the vaccination passports and mandates and all that kind of stuff, and yes, I know Australia is a bit of a shit show at the moment, but I think we can all agree that wherever you fall on the pandemic, the COVID, the vaccination scenario, that somebody pretending to be somebody they're not and giving other people the chance to give false information in a time when there's so much misinformation on both sides about every issue, and it's so hard to know what's real and who to believe in the pandemic, in when we're trying to get a hold of the virus. And the larger belief is that the vaccines are the right way to go. But whether you fall down on the side of, I'm not going to get a vaccine, that's fine. There are people who will believe the only way to get around not getting the vaccine and still go about your daily life the way you want to do is to lie and say, well, I'm medically exempt. You know, it's the same as medical marijuana. People are going around saying they had glaucoma in order to get some weed. However, this is a global pandemic and it's causing people to die. This is just somebody going out there and saying, hey, for $150, I'll give you a cert and you can go about your daily life. Now, she claims she's done nothing wrong because she thinks that the whole COVID thing is a hoax. She's not to believe she's entitled to issue these certificates. She's basically anti-COVID and does not believe people should be forced into vaccinations and charging up to $150 per certificate. If those documents are being presented to employers as being exemptions from vaccination, then that exposes that person to risk of catching COVID because they're not properly vaccinated or suffering ill effects of COVID. It also places colleagues and workmates at risk. Of course, there are people saying, well, you're going to catch COVID with or without the vaccine, so what does this piece of paper really matter? And the reason I think it matters is because, like I've said, there's so much misinformation around there about the virus, about the vaccines, on both sides. You know, both sides have shown that they're not being completely truthful with the information that they're presenting. Which brings me on to a case closer to home. Of course, the case a few weeks ago of a Letterkenny man who was taken out of ICU by an anti-COVID, an anti-vaxxer campaigner, activist, nutjob, who got himself into the hospital, got to the ICU ward and was able to convince this very, very sick man that his doctors were lying to him and that they were trying to kill him, and that if he was going to die, he was better off doing it at home. Now, you may have seen the video, you may know the story. If you haven't, I'm going to show a few seconds of the video here, but please be warned, it's not a very easy watch.
Put your trousers on, my friend. We are going home. You are safe. Is it your stuff there? Can you get that one as well, please? And you follow me. Nobody will, you stay behind me. Nobody will touch, okay?
Okay. What he's doing is wrong.
No, he's not wrong.
Oh, he's endangering your life there by doing that.
I don't know who's endangering whose life.
I just want to make sure that you understand where I'm coming from. You have the right to decide what you want to do.
Yes, yes.
But I don't think he's talking any, that's what he's saying is right at all. You're barely able to breathe there now. We want you to stay to help you.
No, Joe. It's all your choice, Joe.
Yes.
If you stay here, they're going to fucking kill you, Joe.
Yes.
These people, they're not going to help you.
Here,
it's
mind
okay. It's okay. I have my rights. Because you are killing people, so that's because I'm pissed off.
Steven, I'm very worried about you.
So the story sadly goes that he was convinced to leave the hospital. He went home. The following day, apparently, he said he felt great. But the day after that, again, he was taken to the hospital with more severe symptoms and he passed away. It remains to be seen what's going to happen to the guy that convinced him to come out of the hospital. But this is about misinformation. The poor man in this story, who has since died, was scared, obviously. He read about this and seen stories about this disease and this virus that had killed people. Probably killed people that he's known and that were friends of his. He was terrified. So when somebody comes in and says, they're trying to kill you, this is all a hoax, come on home, it sounds like a better option because he's scared. And that's where this misinformation is dangerous. When it preys on the scared people and the uninformed or the misinformed people. That's the danger of it all. From my point of view, if you're not a practicing medical professional, you should not be giving medical advice. Doctor lacking basic medical knowledge employed by Busy Maternity Hospital, fitness to practice hearing told. Dr. Francis Megwa, who was originally from Nigeria but attended medical school in Romania, is facing multiple allegations of poor professional performance relating to his term of employment at UMHL in 2018. Senior house officer is what he was employed by in obstetrics and gynecology. Obstetrics and gynecology is obviously a very specialised area of medical expertise and a scary one if you're a patient, because if everything's going well, then fine, nothing to worry about. If things aren't going entirely to plan, the anxiety and the fear with parents around that, whether there's problems with the pregnancy or the problems with the pregnancy or the baby, that's a scary thing. So you want to believe that you're in good hands, you're in safe hands when you go to your hospital. But apparently this wasn't the case in this particular hospital in Limerick. It is alleged that Dr. Megwa, while practicing as a senior house officer, between July 9th and August 14th, 2018, failed to demonstrate sufficient skill or knowledge expected from an SHO. So the story goes on. He's Nigerian and he said that he studied in Romania, but he was only on the general register in Ireland. He had spent time in the UK but wasn't on the register there, even though the UK was part of the EU at the time. But he was able to get through the interview process. But he didn't have any qualifications. So did he just turn up at the interview and be like, yeah, I can do this. Let's go and give it a crack. That's not good enough. He is also accused of failing to demonstrate competency in prescribing medication commonly used in obstetrics and gynecology and setting intravenous cannulation in respect of a patient with a previous history of cesarean section who presented with placenta previa and substantial hemorrhage. Dr. Megwa is accused of being unable to give a clear history of the patient and failed to identify her blood loss. That's scary. Now, of course, he was caught. I mean, somebody noticed that he had less knowledge than he was supposed to have and reported it. And the story goes on to say that he was then taken off active duty, I suppose we'll call it. He wasn't allowed to prescribe drugs. He wasn't allowed to carry out any procedures unless another doctor was present. And even then, they were like, you observe. You're in there as an observer only. But how did he get through the process? How did he get in there? If you go to interview as an entry-level data entry or a clerical administration staff in the HSE or a county council, there's a multiple-stage interview process. And they go through everything. They want your leave insert results, your college results. They want work references. They want blah, blah, blah. And that's to work in the office. Yet to go and be an SHO in a hospital, it's just come on in. Here's the problem. Is that we don't have enough qualified staff interviewing qualified staff. You won't be interviewed as a restaurant manager by the kitchen porter. And this is the same thing here. We need qualified staff interviewing doctors. And that can only be done by, in my opinion, doctors. Or at least somebody who has studied the field. Not somebody who is managing the administration side of the business. And let's face it, the HSE is run like a business, so there's no difference here. Story goes on, he had graduated from a medical school in Romania but was not registered in Romania, nor was he registered as a doctor in Nigeria where he was a citizen. He had been turned down for registration in the UK, which was still part of the EU at the time. So I was surprised he was only registered in Ireland. You expect that anybody who has been through medical school and is registered to take blood and insert an IV cannula. He wasn't able to do any of those things. A few more stories that I've read while researching this have happened over the last 10 years where it seems to be Nigerian doctors. this is not a race thing. Of course, anyone from anywhere can become a doctor. But the fact that I've seen a lot of Nigerian doctors who turn out not to be doctors and have done botched operations, and the aftermath of that is just horrendous. And I wonder, does it come down to the basic thing of we can't question this guy because he's black and he's from Nigeria and we'll be accused of being racist? I think we need to suck that up and question people's skills, expertise, experience and qualifications, especially when it comes to the medical professional. And any excuse not to do that is just not acceptable. Here's what really annoyed me at the end of it all. Following a question by committee member Dr. Maura Milner about the interview process which saw Dr. Megwa offer the position of SHO, Dr. Burke said, "Clearly an error has been made in that regard. There is no doubt the interview process was flawed." You think? We need to do better than this. No more excuses. Cut out the bureaucracy. Get people in there who know how to interview somebody. I mean, my background is hospitality. I wouldn't hire somebody to be a food runner until I'd seen them do it. And that's just for carrying food. This is for looking after people's health and the health of their unborn children. It's not good enough. Let me know what you think down below. Comment down below. What do you think the solution is to this? And while you're at it, if you wouldn't mind hitting the subscribe button and the notification bell, and hit the thumbs up if you liked the video. Hit the thumbs down if you didn't like the video. But let me know. You'll also get the main podcast every Tuesday on all the podcast apps here. Wherever you get your podcasts, you know what the story is. This will be every Monday, Wednesday and Friday. The main podcast goes out on a Tuesday. Thanks very much for watching. We'll see you next time. Good luck.